One, two, three, four.
I declare a thumb war. Five, six, seven, eight. I got a masturbate off.
Hello and welcome to the Vine Podcast, episode 7. We are here with our alternative podcast team, because our regular podcast team cannot be here. I am Will, the editorial manager of MonsterVine.com, and joining us today are two very special people.
Alright, hi everyone. You might remember me from the pre-E3 podcast. My name is Plummin. I am the Bulgarian guy. And a Nintendo fanboy, and this is my very special friend,
Bear Grylls. As you may know me, I host a Discovery show, Man vs. Wild, and I live in camels, and I eat larvae for lunch.
I'm fucking Superman.
Right, alright, so what are you going to first talk about, Will?
Before we get into our all post-E3 discussion, we will say why we haven't had a podcast from our regular podcast team. So we're going to divide up the podcast team. The online people are podcast team A, and we're going to be team B. So you're going to have to start distinguishing our podcasts, even though it's the same podcast. All right, so E3 happened, right? So we're going to talk about the motion controls that came out by Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo. So what do you guys think of the Sony, the motion one controller thing?
Well, I think it was really good. It was much better than Nintendo's schlock, because Nintendo is just schlock. And Nintendo, it was their idea, but they didn't do well on it. I don't like the Wii motion sensor that much. But I think PS3 has very good potential with theirs. And, if they make, interesting stuff. Yeah, so I think it's pretty good. Right, what do you think, Paul?
Well, I pretty much agree with you, Bill, because if Nintendo has to make the motion sensor plus, because the original motion sensor on the Wiimote sucked that much, then that should speak for itself. So, yeah, if you can get it right the first time, all the better for you, whereas Nintendo's still learning, so.
I think they should, maybe change the design on the PS3 a bit, the motion sticks. They look like sex toys, and that's the only thing it looks like, how are you going to educate our kids when they're waving around sex toys around in the living room? What do we do with them?
But the point is that Sony demonstrated this true one-to-one precision that Nintendo was obviously going for, but they had troubles because they failed at hardware. So, but Nintendo itself had that Wii Motion Plus thing. When they demonstrated it, they showed about the same kind of demos that the PlayStation was showing, but they showed Wii Sports Resort. And I think Paulman has some opinions on that.
Alright, so pretty much when what was her name? Cammy? Yeah, that stupid bitch that died on the first Goomba, right? Okay, so pretty much when she came on stage and introduced Wii Sports Resort, everyone was figuring out what would be the quickest way to kill myself, because it was really that depressing. I mean, to show off the Wii Motion Sensor Plus, they showed, archery and what was it? And a samurai guy, right? And then this huge montage of all the people doing highly sensitive motion things. Yeah, and a guy throwing a frisbee. What the? Skydiving, huge motion sensor requirement. Yeah, please just give me a fucking break. If that didn't piss me off enough, just having that stupid bitch on stage talking about the stupidest games. Really? Yeah, oh my. A fucking game based on a book. Okay, cool. We get the concept. It's probably going to suck. And was it for the... It was for the DS, right? Yeah, and it was like a murder mystery game. And, like, they introduced it on the stage floor. Like, that was so... That made me cry a little. Like, that was such a shitty game.
So pessimistic, Plumman?
You know it sucked.
Wasn't there, like... Wasn't Hotel Dusk about... And from the DS? Wasn't that a good game? There, no? No, you don't like it, Will? Okay. I own a DS. I have to defend it. I'm defending my DS.
I can defend the DS a little bit, just because when Reggie came out and introduced this game, all right, not that stupid Cammy bitch that introduced the other shitty game. When Reggie came out and talked to us about Golden Sun DS, well, basically it was like instant fanboy all over. Hey. No. Hey, Golden Sun was a completely legit series. I enjoyed both 1 and 2, and I'm looking entirely forward to finally finishing that game.
We're going to an intermission because we have to wipe up the load that Plumman just spurted.
Back from Nintendo, and we're going to talk about the entire press conference in like bits and pieces that we liked and what we didn't like. We liked the fact that they appealed to the core gamers. They listened loud and clear to us by presenting not one, but two new Mario games. Yeah, Mario, and yeah. The first one was New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which lets you play up to four players simultaneously to Mario levels. It looks kind of fun, except for the fact that the people who were playing it didn't exactly... were complete retards. Yeah, they didn't demonstrate the game well enough. Yeah, someone died on the first Goomba. That is not how you play a Mario game. You don't run into a Goomba and expect to live. I wonder what a Goomba does when, like, you run into it. Like, oh no. Okay. But the biggest surprise has to be the fact that Galaxy has a sequel, which features Yoshi.
Oh yeah.
Alright, so I'll pass it on to people who have feedback on.
Which is pretty much me, because Bill didn't watch the press conference. So, anyway.
So boring.
Oh, shut the fuck up, dude. It's Nintendo. What the fuck do you want? So,
Bloods.
Oh, shut up. Bloods. Bill, if you want to watch that shit, go watch Bear Grylls stuff his body in a fucking dead camel, alright? Because...
I am your dead camel.
Bill.
I have 100% Bill. Protection.
Bill, shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ. Okay, alright, so anyway... Well, I kind of have to disagree with you. Like, if you wanted to project Mario as sort of like the hardcore gamers fans, I think most of them have sort of moved away from Mario Galaxy and New Mario Brothers. I mean, while they're cool, it's not the same as like when Super Mario 64 came out, for example. Like, that game was actually pretty challenging to people who were just coming to the 3D realm, and this is really just more of Nintendo's old... Well, yeah. Exactly. It's like a rehash. Oh, exactly. Let's just add Mario in it and make the game look sick. You know, like, that was pretty much it. I can't see it being, like, a great game for hardcore gamers. But... we did get a nice surprise near the end... when Reggie, not that stupid Cammy bitch, died on the fucking first Goomba, but when Reggie came back on stage and was like, I'm going to introduce a new Metroid game by Team Ninja, and I think Bill can speak for us here.
Ninja, they're the guys who made Ninja Gaiden 1, 2, Sigma, Black, and normal, I don't know, like 50,000 versions of Ninja Gaiden that they made. And yeah, so before they show the trailer, I made a joke about how it's gonna be Ninja Gaiden with Metroid,
And it is Ninja Gaiden Metroid. So they really fulfilled my prophecy, even though it was only for 5 seconds. The main thing is that it's a 3D game, you know, Samus, well, 3D, so you have like punching and shooting. So it's a different, it's a very different, yes. So it's, have you like, it's very much similar to the original Metroid games, the 2D games, where you see Samus and you do like use attacks instead of the first person shooting game that we're so used to in 3D Samus. Right? It's a difference from that. Like, I like Metroid Prime and the series, but this is a nice change. And the thing is that I want to talk about Itagaki. Alright. This will be the first game by Team Ninja without Itagaki. Alright. We will be able to see how much Itagaki is responsible for in terms of the boobs and the tits. So, if there is like, you know, no boob, they'll be like, Itagaki, you are the man of the boobs. Maybe he's the guy in the chair who's like, add more boobs, add more jackets, add more motorcycles. I want more motorcycles. So yeah, I think that will be an interesting experience. Go, Will.
Thank you for your insightful comment, Bill, but the reason why this Metroid is going to be so better is because that they're actually going to tell a story. In the cutscenes that the trailer showed, they show Samus actually talking to people, which is kind of a first, because you've never seen her talk. And the fact that this seems more action-oriented than as opposed to this, like, the previous Prime series, which focus on this like survival horror kind of stuff from a first person perspective. Now they're focused on a third person kind of view and it looks great. Side scroller, Metroid, back to the original time. So that looks good. I think the fact that Itagaki is not working with Team Ninja anymore gives a lot of promise to Metroid. Even though it's going to be relatively dark, it's not gonna actually show what you're thinking of.
Bill's desire to see virtual tits, it comes out of his lack of seeing real tits. So it speaks for itself.
So the lows of the Nintendo conference, I had to say, were the Wii Sports Resort demonstration. The casual audience, like, demonstrations, like, with the cop game and the Women's Murder Club, which makes me want to passively murder women in book clubs. So, yeah. And then the biggest what the F moment had to be the Wii Vitality Sensor. What is that?
Nintendo is giving you a choice. When you get a heart attack, you can be like, ooh, the Wii just told me you got a heart attack. What should I do? Yeah. The main problem with all their stuff is that there is no third-party developers for the Nintendo, right? It's all based on their franchise. Metroid, their franchise. Mario, their franchise. Wii Sports, their franchise. It's all, like, first-party game developers. They don't have any, like, support from, unlike Xbox and PS3, because their system is so underpowered in terms of a graphic capacity, you know? So what they have to do is that they have to improve their third-party or show off their, like, a next gen, like, you know, stronger graphical engine instead of sticking with the whole I want to have fun instead of I want to look at something pretty.
Very kind of hypocritical coming from you, Bill. But I'm gonna leave that alone. So anyway, the Wii Vitality Sensor, right? So they show it to us and I honestly thought it was a joke. When I first saw it, it looked like if you were to show someone that product, right, and you didn't tell them that it was the Wii Vitality Sensor and you asked them, like, what do you think this is, I would bet one of them would think it would be like some sort of like weird sex toy, you know, like just like, well, you're supposed to put your finger in it, right? That's how it works, and it like reads your pulse. Yeah, right. That is the stupidest fucking product I have ever heard. Like, you might as well just go to Walmart and put your arm in one of those strangling, you know, the one that checks your blood pressure. Have you seen those? Bill, don't shake your head at me.
So the Wii Vitality Sensor is a representation of Nintendo's failure to make useless accessories. And I know we joked about the Wii Sleep part, but this is just like over that. It was that bad. They would have shown Wii Sleep, I would have been more happier than this. Oh, one more thing before we close the Nintendo. They talked about Nintendo trying to reach a more broader audience. So basically, their research development team spent millions of dollars on figuring out what kind of games they would be interested in. And they found that they grouped people into three categories. One are active people who play games regularly, and two would be the maybes, and they had this, crowd of people was just hanging out, you know, just looked like they were having fun. Yeah, let's go party. And then they had this one picture of a woman crossing her arms and saying, never, they'll never play video games. And it took millions of dollars to research this fact that one-third of people will never play video games in their entire lifetime. So, yeah, that speaks on the part of Nintendo.
You know, I think that research actually worked out because it led them to making the Wii Vitality. Because 90% of the people who don't play video games are old people. And old people, as we know, are gonna die. And so if they have the Wii Vitality, they will realize that when they're gonna die, and it will help them not die. So it's genius on Nintendo's part. And anything else you have to say?
I just love how stereotypical it was for them to have this, like, you know, like middle-aged woman crossing her arms for the never picture. You know, just like you can just imagine it. Like she's angry. She's just like, I will never play video games. Yeah, exactly. Right? Like all the maybes will be like, you know, like, yo, dog, like, yeah, maybe I'll play some video games tomorrow, you know, at some party while I'm fucking drunk. And then it's like this bitch just walks in, she's like, I will never play video games. Ever.
Just to move on from Nintendo, we're talking about Microsoft, which was the first of the press conferences at E3, and they came out with a big spectacular lineup of games to expect this year, like including Halo ODST, and the sequel Reach, which will focus on Spartans on the planet Earth when it was bombed. We saw a lot of good demonstrations of gameplay, just it, a whole vibe of showing and not telling was basically the whole factor that made the conference worthwhile. First they showed off, they started with the Beatles Rock Band, which, I don't know, they just showed off the harmonizing feature, which allows you to use three microphones at once. It's very the integral of the Beatles experience. So they even had Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney come on stage. That was pretty funny. But what we're going to talk about is the new game Alan Wake was showed off by Remedy, and they were the makers of the Max Payne series. And what we saw from it was a very survival horror vibe.
So when I saw the trailer, I was actually pretty stoked. It looks like a horror game with Max Payne mixed with Resident Evil, basically. So it has sort of the bullet time feature and sort of the glossiness of Max Payne, where you have this narration as you play, and sort of how the character looks and moves is very taken from Max Payne. But you have these demons that sort of like spawn during the middle of the night and just attack you randomly and throw cars and washers at you. I don't know. I thought that was very random, kind of silly, but whatever. Oh, no, my favorite part was the way you kill them was you shine your flashlight at them until they become so sparkly that you're entitled to shoot them to death, and then that's how you kill these demons. It still looked really fun. I'm just poking fun at it.
Did you guys play Max Payne, any of you? What do you guys think of the story?
I loved the Max Payne story. I didn't really like 2 so much because it was sort of like a continuation of to what should have been a dead end. But I really, really enjoyed the Max Payne 1 story. I just remember, like, when you play the first part and you come back and, you know, you sort of, like, watch the wife die and then it unfolds to this whole story. And I'll never forget when you play the dream level and you follow, like, this trail of blood and sort of relive, like, the very first level. Except it's sort of like a very nightmarish thing. I really enjoyed it, and that's as much as I say about that.
Alan Wake, looking good.
And I liked. Have you guys seen the movie The Shining? The Shining by Stanley Kubrick. The opening scene of The Shining is a large. You go through a canyon and you see like a whatchamacallit, aerial shot of a car driving, and you see that in Alan Wake 2. It's like you see mountains and the drug car driving by, and the idea of The Shining is that this rider goes to a hotel, isolated, and takes care of it, and he sees like natural supernatural forces. And it's the same, basically the same idea as Alan Wake. And I think that was really cool. In terms of gameplay, it looks nothing special, but I'm hoping the story will be really good, because you guys said the story from Max Payne was really good. Alright, so yeah, it's by the same guys who made Max Payne, same rider, so expect good things.
So another game we saw that was totally unexpected, we didn't call this, but Left 4 Dead 2 is coming, right? It's now going to be in the South, where you play this campaign from Savannah, Georgia to New Orleans, Louisiana. So apparently the Left 4 Dead 2 development team really loves the South. But in this, we'll see a new cast of characters, and we've seen kind of the new diverse personalities from these characters, but also the fact that they improved on the gameplay by adding in this factor of melee weapons. You know, you get a frying pan, for example, that looks to be very important, but also new kinds of infected and stuff. I don't know. What?
Alright, well, I played Left 4 Dead 1, and while I really liked the game, its main feature was really the online play. And so, I mean, even if you're gonna, you know, put this in the South and have, you know, cotton picking gens and Jim Crow laws or whatever running around, I can't see them making it bad, let's put it that way. So all these improvements will probably be nice. I don't know if they can really call it Left 4 Dead 2. It'll probably be more like Left 4 Dead 1.5, just, you know, like a separate story. And I mean, the new characters, what character you have really doesn't matter. It's not like they have special abilities or anything. So I mean, if you're gonna be, you know, a black guy on a cotton field, like, all right, you know, you're gonna be just as useless as the woman in, you know, Left 4 Dead 1. Yeah, the reporter. Yeah, really doesn't change it.
Left 4 Dead 2 coming to the Xbox 360 and PC on November 17th. But speaking of Japan, we know of a certain person who came to the Microsoft press conference to debut a game that was relatively unexpected. Hideo Kojima. Kojima Hideo announced Metal Gear Solid Rising for the Xbox 360. You know it's on PS2 too. But, Metal Gear Solid Rising will have Raiden as the main character. And it's not... We didn't call this. You said, Bill. We need more Raiden. We need more Raiden in games, so we got more Raiden. But apparently, Kojima is not going to be directing this title because it's made by someone else. But looks good from a teaser trailer. I don't. We can't say much about it, but his appearance on the conference.
The teaser trailer will, if you mean about the trailer where it just showed Raiden's face and then said Metal Gear Solid Rising, then yeah, well, there is definitely not much to say about the game other than Hideo Kojima said there is not much to say about this game at this point, but we expect great things. In his weird Japanese English language thing, because I don't know what to call it, so I'll call it Jinglish.
I didn't know how you missed the Raiden thing when like the preview page for Metal Gear Solid 5 was lightning. Lightning in Japan is basically Raiden. You guys know that, right?
No,
lightning boat. But Raiden in Japan means lightning, and we saw lightning in the trailer. So I don't know how we missed that.
Oh, by the way,
oh, you are plumbing? You're Alright, let's go to Japan next year.
Let's go to Tokyo Game Show. That's gonna happen. But Kojima came out and tapped John Matrick's shoulder and he asked him that famous Metal Gear sound came up and that was hilarious. So Good talking in English.
Yeah, right.
Do you like it? I'm pretty sure. So, Microsoft, the biggest thing that came out of that conference has to be the Project Natal, the motion controller, the motion sensitive camera, which has a like built-in voice recognition. And when they demoed that, they had some fairly amount of like bugs and glitches in tracking movements. But that the Lionhead guy, Peter Molyneux, like demonstrated a whole new take on what Project Natal is capable of doing. So
the only thing I want to say is that Peter Molyneux, he said no sci-fi writer have ever thought of that. I'm like, Arthur C. Clarke, maybe. I mean, 2001: A Space Odyssey, wasn't that about artificial intelligence? I mean. Okay, Peter Mullen, you're full of shit.
Are you kidding, dude? Fucking, was it Terminator Salvation, you know, when they had the thing on the screen? Like, that's basically the same thing. Yeah, this is fucking Skynet, dude. It's gonna become self-aware and take us over. No, Project Natal is kind of special in that it doesn't really look like a game to me. What it looks like is, like, The Matrix, in a way, because you're engaging in interacting with artificial intelligence in a way. Like you talk to a little boy and you tell him that, you know, he's never going to grow up to be a real boy because he doesn't know what it's like to be a human. And then he cries, but he doesn't understand that he's crying because he's not a real human. So, you know, it's, I don't know. Yeah. Right. And no, I'm just kidding. I think it's a very interesting development. I don't think of it much of a game. I really see it as more of a scientific development than a game.
You know what would be the ultimate like goal in video games? It would be like you'd be able to like motion sensor, but you will be able to see 3D, like everything. That would be the ultimate experience. You're living in the virtual world, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I predict 500 years later, nobody will actually go out in the real world anymore. We'll just stay in the virtual world. And that's a very depressing thought. So here we go.
I was just speculative because that when they demoed, they showed a trailer, not an actual demo of it. So I was speculating if that was all scripted beforehand to make it look like the AI could interact when it's just preset, you know, voice commands, and like it was, it's not, it didn't seem dynamic enough. It looks kind of static for what it is. But the fact that you can actually like use your motion, like your hands, to signal and interact was kind of interesting. And that's probably what I have to say about Project Natal. It still has a long way to go before it goes somewhere. But that was Microsoft's press conference. Finally, we are going to talk about the Sony press conference, which almost equaled Microsoft showing at E3. Because yeah, we skip Halo because I'm not very knowledgeable. Neither are these guys about Halo. Phew. No, you don't. Shut up. Right. Yeah, you know a shit ton about Halo. Right. Sony showed off a lot of good exclusives. Hi Nick. Well, pardon that interruption. We're gonna edit that out.
What? Sony had a
this shit. Alright. Sony presented a whole multitude of exclusives to, you know, go against Microsoft, and I think they came out with a pretty good showing of what PS3 can do in this year and the years to come. The biggest one has to be the starting of Uncharted 2. That is looking sick. Nathan Drake is back, and this new environment that he's in is relatively, looks pretty good. Really colorful, you know, the controls look good. The same width of Nathan Drake is back. So that looks good. But the biggest announcement at that conference had to be when Trenton announced the next Final Fantasy. And when they announced Final Fantasy 14 coming out in the same year as Final Fantasy 13, we were a little skeptical at what that meant. And when we saw the trailer, as much as everyone's reactions were, we were like, what? What? What had the sum of that reaction? And by the end, when we saw that it was online, we confirmed that that was going to be another MMO. Yeah, because I don't know about Square Enix's reputation for making good MMOs yet. 14 looks exclusive to PS3, but it will come out on the PC as well. They didn't. They forgot that fact.
Well, let's look at their history of MMOs. Let's look at Final Fantasy XI and how that worked out. Plumman, you're a WoW veteran. How much do you enjoy those 18-hour boss fights?
Dude, Bill, I was just gonna fucking talk about that shit. Yeah, so there was how long ago was that? Like a year when it came out? A few months ago? No, wait, whatever. Anyway, so basically, in Final Fantasy XI, they unveiled, I don't know, some new boss. It was supposed to be really hard. It turned out it was actually nearly impossible. The battle for this boss took a recorded 18 hours. Oh, and they wiped, which means they didn't kill him. And this battle was so long that one person literally passed out on their keyboard. And I that should speak for itself. If you have to design a game to the point where a boss battle takes that long, then you shouldn't be playing this game. It's just hazardous to your health. And yeah, take it away.
And when they all wiped, they all lost a level because you lose EXPs in that game when you die.
I couldn't even imagine, you know, the YouTube video that would come out of that if there was like a DKP thing. Like, oh my god, like, oh, that's a 500 DKP minus. Oh, fuck, what the fuck was that? You know, like something along those. Or maybe about the Huron run, you know. 2 attack power. You fucking 2 fucking attack. Yeah, it would be something along those lines. Like, I would just be so angry.
Yeah, nobody got that, Flowin. Thank you.
No, what? Are you kidding? That was such an old joke. Yeah.
I'm sure. No, nobody plays WoW. Come on, we know that.
Are you kidding?
We know this.
Half the fucking world plays WoW.
Okay, but anyways, I think that Square Enix still do not know that what American gamers want. I mean, they have like MMOs in Japan, Korea, where it's like, you know, have you guys played Lineage 2?
No.
Or some version of that? Basically, it's a grindathon. You keep grinding. There's no stopping grinding, and like some people have like broken up marriages because grinding. Yep. That game. Terrible game. But yeah, so Asian people, they're all very used to grinding for stuff. But Americans, we want some diversity, you know? So if we can't have a game that keeps it grinding, and Final Fantasy XI, Square Enix didn't know what Americans want. So I think they should have learned, and they should probably make a more quest-based game, like WoW, or better, like, adventure system.
If you were going to get any MMO this year, I would not go for the upcoming Final Fantasy XIV. I would wait not for the WoW. I would wait for Star Wars The Old Republic. It is going to be great.
Personally, I'm just waiting for a World of StarCraft to come out, because you all know the day that comes out, your choice is going to be, am I going to be the Zergling Overlord, or am I going to be, you know, the Marine Captain, or maybe I'll be a ghost. And what should I spec, huh?
Nuke? Not nuke.
Or maybe subtlety. whatever. I mean, we know Blizzard has a new MMO in the works too, so BlizzCon should be something to look forward to. I doubt they'll unveil it, but whatever.
About Star Wars, the Old Republic. It's by BioWare, so it's guaranteed to be 100% better than Star Wars Galaxies or Star Wars Galaxies 2, however successful those are. Yeah, but the problem that BioWare, their combat sucks. And I wish they would make a new combat system that doesn't suck. So that's the only problem I have with that. But the graphics looks really good. Like the trailer graphics, CGI.
Fully voiced.
Yeah, fully voiced. Yeah. Ooh, and it's going to be like a lot more lightsaber. Yeah, less. I mean, in Galaxies, they used to have like Jedi as like a class that you have to like work hard to get. So no one can be a Jedi. You have to be like a merchant or a cook. Which is retarded, because why would you cook when you're paying $15 a month? Why would you cook? I mean, I want to be like a Jedi and like slice stuff, right?
But yes, so I'm back to Sony again. We saw a lot of demonstration of first party titles like Uncharted 2, Mag, that 256 player Battlefield type game. We also saw Heavy Rain, which was not demonstrated at the conference, but we saw a developer walkthrough of it, and it looks pretty good for a type of adventure game that lets you interact. And it's made by the people who made Indigo Prophecy, if you remember them. But I played like the demo of it, and it was it's alright. I hope Heavy Rain brings more in-depth into the environment that you can interact with.
The main thing I heard about Inigo Prophecy is that the plot's retarded. And yeah, and like, stuff that you do that is supposed to change the plot do not change the plot that much, and in the end you get this retarded plot either way. So and like for Heavy Rain, the thing looks like it's like an interactive story, yeah, movie, something like that. So it's very interesting. I think you can go very far with that.
I was just gonna say, if you're a fan of, you know, Resident Evil 4, and specifically when you do the knife fight against Krauser, yeah, well then you will probably be a very big fan of Heavy Rain, because it looks like that's entirely what the game is. It's just a giant, big-ass knife fight against Krauser, and you get to move and interact and make choices. And the interesting part that I thought about Heavy Rain was when the developer said there is no real game over. Like, a main character can die, and then you'll switch to the another character. And so the plot will actually develop even though one character may die. So I don't know. I thought that was very interesting. I wonder, like, what happens if you just have all the characters die, you know? You get some stupid plot where it's like, and nothing happened.
You just keep dying and you don't cry. Yeah, I was thinking about main character dying while before he was about to like get killed, but yeah, that was interesting. Remember that Resident Evil 4 where like the boulder came down and you had to run and like, have to dodge at 1 second? That was really fun, wasn't it, guys? Except you died and be like, I forgot to press button, so I died.
That doesn't necessarily like continue the story. You just get a game over screen. But Heavy Rain, the plot actually continues. So like, I'm wondering, like, there's so many instances where you can actually die. Then how would the plot, like, will you get like multiple? Like, is it really impossible to have like more than like so many endings for this game? So I'd like to see how Heavy Rain develops on that storytelling feature. If a person dies and you can continue on. Well, when we saw the gameplay too, it looks really good. It's when the developer said it's contextual, so it's gonna be on the basis of like your button presses. So if you fuck up on one button, it's not gonna be the end of the world. Just make sure that when you don't press that button, the guy doesn't swing with you with an axe and try to chop your head off, you know. So. So what else? Sony also had the privilege of demonstrating Assassin's Creed 2 on their conference, and that looked sick. You are playing Ezio or whatever, a merchant turned assassin in the Renaissance era, and you're playing in Florence, I think, but it looks like everything in that time period should look like, and the fact that Leonardo da Vinci helps you out, and that the flying machine, the flying machine, I think.
I actually really enjoyed that scene where you put on the flying machine, and you start flying, right, and then, right, because it's very primitive, I guess is the word for it. It always like sort of falls down, and you sort of have to put yourself above these giant fire pits to lift you up in the air. But the thing is made of wood, you know. So I was thinking, like, maybe if you get too close, like, does the thing catch on fire or what? But I mean, that's just me like thinking about it. I think overall, it looks really good. I was really happy with when they showed us sort of some of the new combat features. Like, if two people are standing next to each other, you can double Hidden Blade them and just bring them both down at the same time, which I thought was very skillful, very nice. And what else? It seemed that right, it's a continuation. It's not anything brand new. You're still playing in sort of like the science fiction, like broad. Story, but like you play in these medieval times,
And I don't know, it looks good. That's what I'll say.
It looks really good. I think it's the best, one of the best looking like gameplay. Ubisoft is a really good system, right? Their whatchamacallit, graphical system. When it's like a game that I would just like sit there and watch. I won't even want to play. I just want to watch it. Watch someone play. It looks that good. So I think we should go on to The Lost Guardian. It's a special teaser from T. Michael. Yep, who made Ico Shadow of Colossus, both of which are really good games. And it's about, we always see it's like a trailer where like a little boy with like a giant dog like animal. Yeah, it's
if I just woke up one day incredibly angry and I had to think of the most ugliest thing in the world, you know, like something so ugly that I would just want to instantly kill it the moment I saw it, it would probably be that dog / pigeon thing from Team Trico's The Last Guardian.
It actually looks really, really good, the gameplay stuff. It looks, no, like, not just the dog.
Bill's full of shit. Don't listen to Bill. Bill's full of shit.
I'm talking to dog. I'm talking about the gameplay. Like, Shadow Colossus looks really, really good on PS2, right? Like, the particle effect, the blur, and the camera, it's really well done. So, Lost Guardian also looks really, really good because they know how to, you know, make a game. Make the game look, shut up, Plumman. But, yeah, so, and the other thing I want to point out, the music is from, Miller's Crossing, and that was really weird. I don't even know if they have the rights to that music, but that's the only thing I want to point out.
Okay, the thing with Team Michael's games is not that it doesn't look pretty and it's not like presented well. It's because the gameplay never matches up quite to the extent of the presentation of it. I know in Shadow Colossus you get this whole like vast open world, but there is nothing much to interact with besides the bosses that you encountered, and I don't. And for The Last Guardian, it looks like this is a fusion of both Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. And I don't see how the gameplay would work.
But the story in the Shadow of Colossus and Ico are so good and so symbolic. What are you talking? They're not supposed to tell you. You're supposed to interpret them. That's the good thing. Yeah, that's good storytelling. What does the Colossus represent?
60-foot tall building that just stopped.
I asked you what they represent, not what they are.
It represents a giant building
Okay, Plumman, you know a lot about the game. But anyways, I think it's artistic, and that's one of the few games that I can say is very artistic. Alright, so I'm excited about this new game. And let's go on, Will.
Alright, so besides The Last Guardian, they demonstrated God of War 3 as their last presentation, and that is probably the sickest thing I've ever seen. Brutal decapitations are back. Kratos can steamroll people while fighting enemies. It's like a big fucking tank just massacring like all kinds of mythological creatures. And wow, how brutal.
Yeah, this game, Kratos, kind of just reminds me of, there was this YouTube video a while back where, I don't know, it was some ridiculous, like, Tauren warrior and doing Warsong Gulch. Just shut up. Let me get through this. And, right, and he's just in Warsong Gulch, and he's got a heal bot, and the healer's just healing him the whole time, and he has every button linked to Mortal Strike. and charge. And what he does is he just rolls his face on his keyboard and he kills everything because he has a healer healing him the whole time. And so he just like one target, like Mortal Strike. The guy's dead. Next target, Mortal Strike. And yeah, that kind of reminds me of like how this game is going to be. It's just going to be like decap, next target, decap. Which it's going to be sick because there's so many different combinations and moves you can do in that game. It's just that in the end, it's all the same thing. It's killing.
That only serves to show that WoW people are retarded in PvP. But what I have to say about God of War 3 is that I don't like the God of War series.
Thank you for your input. Mr. Bill, I'm so...
But you like Shadow of the Colossus?
I know. Get out of here. We don't care about your Last Guardian. And that has ended for the Sony press conference. We are seeing the future of video games here with the motion controllers. They are developing beyond just making new hardware and new, like, system. They are going into the future right here. Project Natal will become the next Xbox 720. So we've pretty much wrapped up all of our press conference talks about E3. What I like this year is that not only that the event seemed to preach this idea of more games, that it has backing from publishers, but it also became a larger event that like is more social, and all the journalists coming there and all the exhibitions there, all the third-party publishers, really make the whole event worthwhile. So that's what I have to say. If I was to like say which like Sony, Microsoft, or Nintendo came out better, I think they all came out good, because each one of them I could like pick out a specific thing that I liked and look forward to, and it makes you worthwhile. If you're really missing out if you only own one console and prefer it over the other, because you're missing out on a totally different experience on another console.
So. Whoa, you only want one console?
Shut the fuck. Alright, I'll hand it off to other people.
Alright, I've always just had a thing for Nintendo. So I'll speak for them first. They kind of disappointed me this year, kind of like they disappoint me every year. Just the Wii Vitality Sensor and Wii Sports was a real big letdown. But Nintendo always has this way of, like, coming at the last second, just like, some sort of, like, redemption. Like, when they introduced the Metroid Other M, like, there was a Penny Arcade article where they're just like, Nintendo's dead, and then they introduce Metroid M, and then the two people in the comic block are just, like, hugging each other, like, oh my god. Yeah, it was basically that. I don't know. I'm still disappointed at the fact that there's no new Harvest Moon series. not fag at all. Harvest Moon is awesome. I can't wait to grow plants again and fuck chicks and plant and grow crops. Okay, so anyway, and then so that's pretty much all I can say for Nintendo. I watched the Sony and Xbox press conferences, at least some of them. Overall, I'd say I was pretty happy with them. Sony seems to be very, like, diversive. It still has the Final Fantasy saga, but other than that, it keeps coming out with, like Heavy Rain, for example, took me by surprise. And I believe Alan Wake, that was for the PS, right? That was for the Xbox? Oh, okay, never mind. Well, we'll see, that's the other example I could use for the Xbox. They just have, both of them really have, like, this diversity of games. It's kind of enjoyable.
Well, I think this E3 was pretty strong. Many games sure looks really good. The graphical capacity of the systems are being fully used now. And I'm surprised that Nintendo has one game that I'm actually looking forward to, which is the Metroid game, which looks pretty good. The other games, Alan Wake, Heavy Rain, all look pretty good, and The Lost Guardian, that's the game I'm looking forward to. That game is amazing. It looks so pretty. Okay. Yeah. But anyways, my thoughts on E3. Good, but not great.
Video games and gaming consoles. We can rebuild them. Make them stronger. Faster. Have a bigger penis. More alert. More interactive. Less interactive. Come with a vitality sensor. And many, many more things. But overall, they are still just video games. And that's where I'll leave.
Space. The final frontier.
Oh, and Monster Vine will be at E3 2010 next year, so we'll actually be there. Thank you. That's our announcement. Big, that's exclusive to Monster Vine. Can't find it on any other console.
Okay.
This is Will from MonsterVine.com.
This is Bear Grylls coming from you from the stomach of a camel. It's nighttime now, and there's a desert storm coming. But don't worry, I'm 100% protected by my camo skin. And I'm also eating maggots for lunch tomorrow.
This is Plumman. I will soon be responsible for the death of Bill Jing-Jing, Jing-Tang, whatever. We are both UCSD students. If you are listening to this, I recommend you call.
And I'll be 100% protected from the sand.